Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue to make our way through the Acts of the Apostles, looking at the unfolding of the church and its mission and the inspiring words that Peter and the apostles proclaim and the works of extending the power of the kingdom of God through signs and wonders, through the preaching of the gospel. Many came to believe. They came to receive what the apostles were proclaiming and to repent and give their lives to Christ. The apostles were baptizing them, and many were being added to their number. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them on your computer or download them, put them on whatever device that works for you. You can also go to AveMariaRadio.net. The programs are archived there as well. Now, I left off yesterday looking at St. Peter and the apostles being brought before the religious leaders, the council, and the rulers of Israel. And they're being chastised because they proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And for what stirred it all was the working of a miracle, Peter healing a lame man at the Gate Beautiful in the temple. And so now they're standing before these religious leaders, and Peter boldly just told them there's salvation in no other name other than in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's really helpful to go through these stories again and again and to try to place yourself in the midst of them. Imagine yourself either being one of the Jewish people that was in the temple or maybe one of the apostles, or you're just observing what's happening and watching Peter so profoundly transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit in his life from where he was prior to Jesus' passion and death. And on the night he betrayed Jesus, he was afraid. He was like you and me, like so many of us, that he was afraid for his own life. And so because he was afraid, he distanced himself from Jesus. He followed him at a distance. And then when someone confronted him, on three different occasions he was confronted, Peter literally denied ever knowing Jesus. He didn't want to identify with Jesus because he didn't want to get hurt. He didn't want to be marginalized in some way, probably didn't want to get arrested and didn't want to have to endure what Jesus was going through, but it was crushing him. What happened in Peter in such a profound way can happen in our lives as well, in a smaller way, but the same dynamic. We're living at a time in our culture where Christianity is kind of losing its place of ascendancy, and the culture is becoming more intensely secular, completely indifferent to religion in different ways. And so as a result, it's becoming more difficult, especially because the culture and the political culture and our legal system are taking on certain patterns of life, ways of looking at the world that are radically inconsistent with Christianity and really radically inconsistent with any way in which we've lived before this. And now we're in a place of confrontation with the culture. It's not full-on confrontation. Some ways it is, but it's increasing. We've known some of these battles, for example, like the whole battle against abortion in our time, fighting for life and the dignity of human life from conception till natural death, and many forces in the culture pressing against it. But now the things the culture values and is deciding they're legally going to support and promote, more things are emerging, like same-sex marriage or all the gender stuff that's emerging across the culture that's being imposed in elementary school levels and the rest of it that we find radically inconsistent with, number one, reality, but radically inconsistent with God's will and the meaning of human life, what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. Marriage itself is God's creation. God made it. And it's an image of the Trinity. And there's so much that's there that's sacred and isn't just subject to whatever we want it to be. And so it's part of the church's gospel, you might say. It's part of the message the church brings to the world, the good news of what we know God has made marriage and family life and human sexuality to be. So we're living in a time where the principles and attitudes of the sexual revolution are now being incarnated in law and as a result making it more difficult for us to live openly and freely the life that we know God has called us to live. And so what that does is it causes tension, creates difficulty, puts us at odds in some places with the broader culture. That's going to create a crisis within human hearts, a crisis among believers, or potentially it'll create a crisis. And that is, okay, now for the first time in my life, I'm being identified with something the culture doesn't like. And they're getting more and more aggressive about it. And there could be a cost to my being identified with it. People could think of me as being a closed-minded bigot, a hater, being an intolerant human being. And of course, people who are branded with that today in the culture get marginalized in a hurry. You could even lose your job. You could lose your standing in society and culture. So wow, here we are now being identified with Jesus, being identified with his teaching, being identified as belonging to him, as his disciple. You know, the fundamental characteristic of a disciple is that we belong no longer to ourselves, but to him. We literally belong to Jesus. He came that those who lived might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. In Romans, Paul tells us he died and rose so that he could be Lord of both the dead and of the living. So a disciple is someone who has become a follower of Jesus through repentance, through baptism, through entering his church. And now we have Jesus at the center of our life, that he's the fundamental priority. He's the reason we get out of bed in the morning. He's the center of our life. And identifying with him is our great privilege. But now it's becoming unpopular to maintain certain things we know Jesus values and commandments and ways of life that are absolutely incontestable or uncontestable, I'm saying the right word, from a Christian point of view, and something we can never compromise on. And so therein lies the pressure. Peter, before having received the gift of the Holy Spirit, before Jesus rose from the dead in the Passion, what was revealed in the life of Peter is the weakness of the human heart, is the fear of death. Jesus broke that power in his own Passion, death, and resurrection. And the very Spirit that was in Jesus, strengthening him and empowering him, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, was given to Peter on the day of Pentecost. And Peter was a new man. He was God's man. Never again would he compromise. I mean, I'm sure it broke his heart that night, or when Jesus, you know, died on that cross and was buried. Can you imagine what was going through Peter's mind? The man he loved, he truly did love Jesus. But the weakness of his own heart, his own inordinate self-love, his own cowardice, led him to betray the one he loved the most in that most significant moment where he needed Peter the most. But God forgave him. Jesus forgave him. That beautiful scene, I think it's at the end of John's Gospel, where Jesus is on the shore and the apostles are fishing, and they see him. They see him at a distance, and Peter jumps out of the boat, swam to the shore, and there he was with Jesus. And he probably, sometimes I just imagine, that he like fell down before Jesus. He just couldn't wait to say, "I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me." And Jesus asked him a simple question: "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. Feed my lambs and feed my sheep, Peter." Jesus forgave Peter, gave him authority to lead the church, filled him with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and said, "Peter, take this message to the whole world. Don't be afraid of anything. Don't be afraid of dying. You and I are united now. We're united forever in your baptism and by the grace and power of the Spirit. Your time on earth is short. I'm sending you on mission. Extend my kingdom in this world." And that's exactly what Peter did. That's why the church is here today. And you too are a recipient. If you've been baptized into Christ, entered his church, this same grace. And each one of us in that baptism are commissioned now to bear the message of the kingdom of God, and to whatever way we're able, according to our life, our vocation, where we are, our standing, our gifting, we're all called to participate and cooperate with the Holy Spirit, who gives us new power and a new capacity to live differently, to first follow Jesus, to love him, to love his commandments, to do whatever he calls us to do. That beautiful line St. Peter or St. Paul would use in, I think, 1 and 2 Corinthians, where we make it our aim now to please the Lord. That's the first thing the Holy Spirit is stirring within us in terms of transforming and changing us, learning how to love what Jesus loves, and to love the Father the way Jesus loved the Father, and to show that love through, as Jesus did, through obeying the Father's command. And so the Holy Spirit wants to conform us to the image of Jesus, conform us to become like Jesus, to become little Christs, and that is those who are obediently, lovingly surrendered, children of God surrendered to the will of the Father. That's the first thrust and orientation the Holy Spirit wants to build into our lives after revealing to us and confirming in our hearts the reality of Jesus, that he's the Lord of all. And then that same Spirit empowers us not only to live a different way of life, but to now engage Jesus' mission and to find a place. So no matter who's listening today, no matter if you're 95 years old and you're no longer able to get out of your house, you too are called to mission. If you're battling a terminal illness, guess what? You too are called to mission till the day you die. And how do you live that out? You live it out by praying and interceding, continuing to repent of your own sins, but also to pray for the lost, to pray the rosary as Our Lady encourages us to do for the salvation of the world, for the forgiveness of sins. Because just as in the days when she gave that commission to the children at Fatima, she said that God is being offended, is profoundly offended by the blasphemies and the indifference of the world. That same reality is happening today. So right where you are, you can be mighty in the Lord and living your mission right to the last, offering your sickness, offering your suffering with the suffering of Jesus for the salvation of the world as you intercede for him. So friends, here we are at a time when the culture is turning. And understand this, it's turning away from God. There's no kind of peaceful middle road. There's a resistance to God and God's plan and purpose that's underneath all of this. And it's a profound spiritual battle. And underneath it is the enemy himself, who's so hostile to God in his hatred and does everything he can to destroy the work of the kingdom of God. And where's that kingdom of God work happening? It's in the lives of the people who've been baptized into Christ, the church. The church is not a building. The church is the people of God. The church is all those who are baptized into Christ, and the church is fundamentally missionary. And so we're coming up against it now. And just as Peter's standing much more dramatically before the religious rulers of the time in a very intimidating setting, he's no longer intimidated. He's standing there knowing. He's probably thanking the Lord, "Lord, thank you. You gave me a second chance." And of course, what he'll say, they'll warn Peter and the apostles, "You stop speaking in his name." And Peter says to them, "We cannot but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard. This man stands before you healed, and we must tell you the truth. It's by the name of Jesus Christ that he's healed." And despite the warning, they go forward with tremendous confidence and courage. That's how we're called to live in this moment, a call to nonconformity in Christ. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.